a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Services Committee, I welcome all of you in the room. We have slight attendance here, so that tells that we should move things quickly. Want to greet our internet listeners. Just a reminder, please turn off your cell phones. We have two pages if you want to come up here to the mic and press the green button and give us your name and where you're from.
Paulino.
Tess Bashir.
Is the green light on?
I am Tessa Stoltenberg from Watertown.
I'm Madeline Schuler from Pierre.
Great. Welcome, and thank you for your support. With that, I would ask the secretary to call the roll. Bradford.
Here.
Holane.
Here.
Krebs.
Here.
Rampelberg.
Here.
Schleckaway. Kraus.
Here.
Hanoff.
Here.
We do have a quorum. I would ask for the approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Krebs, second by Senator Kraus. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. Again, if you're going to provide testimony, I would ask you to please sign in. We will start off by House Bill 1009, which repeals certain provisions relating to licenses issued by the Board of Pharmacy. Is there someone here from pharmacy? You need to come up. Please identify yourself or the home audience and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Randy Jones. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Board of Pharmacy, and I'm also a pharmacist. Our board is here in support of House Bill 1009 and the Governor's Red Tape Repeal Initiative. Our board is proposing to repeal two permits that we currently issue and we think are no longer relevant. The first license is the poison permit. Poison permit has been around for a very long time. I believe the legislation was first enacted in the late 1800s, and it had its place for a number of years. The sellers of these toxins or poisons were typically three types of merchants. It was pharmacies, hardware stores, and grain elevators. And again, these products were commercially available to those merchants for a number of years at the behest of the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, in the late 60s, early 70s, and then to continue on into the 80s, it was their charge to the manufacturers to reformulate these products so they were either non-toxic or certainly less toxic to the environment. So manufacturers did take that under consideration, and as our rules or our statute 34-20, the products that are listed on that statute as poisons are not commercially available anymore through wholesalers. So we are suggesting to repeal that license. If some examples might be, from the agricultural side, there was poison oats. We used to call it rat poison, in essence, rodent poison, and which was laced with very toxic levels of warfarin in human health. That's called Coumadin, which is still available on the human health side, but it's no longer available on the agriculture or the commercial side. We used to sell a fair amount of acids through the pharmacies that were commercial contractors would use to bleach things like concrete if they spilled oil on somebody's brand new driveway, things like that. Well, those acids aren't really for sale anymore. In fact, I don't even think me as a pharmacist can purchase them from wholesalers anymore. They might be available through manufacturers, but the products that these contractors are using now are a highly concentrated detergent, which is non-toxic to the environment. So the chemicals, again, that are defined in 34-20 really aren't available commercial anymore, so we would suggest the repeal of that permit. The second permit is called a non-prescription drug permit. That legislation was enacted in 1939. The rationale for that legislation is sketchy at best, since it was so long ago. I can't find any supporting documentation in our office as to why that legislation was enacted. I do have an educated hypothesis, if you will, as to why that permit was necessary at the time. If you go back in 1939, there wasn't any convenience stores selling, non-prescription, because there was no convenience stores. Grocery stores pretty much sold groceries. Filling stations sold gas, oil, and fan belts. So really the only person or the only entity that was selling these non-prescription products was pharmacies. I believe the permit had a dual role, if you will. Even though these items were available without a prescription, pharmacies kept them behind the counter. Now, bear in mind, in 1939, it was all independent retail pharmacies for the most part, other than hospitals or institutional. But they kept these products behind the counter because of packaging and labeling requirements. In 1939, pharmaceutical companies were very sketchy at how they labeled and packaged the product. I remember seeing in museums where it just says aspirin USP. You know, it doesn't say who manufactured it. It doesn't say what the proper dosing is, what the milligram or apothecary strength was. So they kept those behind the counter so they could have interactions, with the patients that wanted to purchase them. In 1939, I believe this legislation was enacted because independent pharmacists went home for lunch, and I think there was a cry from the consumers to say, well, I want to buy a bottle of aspirin when the pharmacist isn't here. So I believe it was a liability issue for the pharmacist. Since that time, there's been state and federal laws that have been put into place that force pharmaceutical companies to manufacture these products in such a way that there is proper directions. The manufacturer is on there with a phone number in case a consumer wants to call. There's proper dosing and side effect profile. There's child safety caps that are on them now. All that came out of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, which was put into place in the early 70s. And then after that, as a spinoff of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, was the Poison Prevention Packaging Act, which again forced these manufacturers to provide packaging that was adequate and safe to the public. It's also somewhat of a difficult permit for us to enforce. Give you a rationale. If somebody opens a new convenience store and they want to sell a certain amount of over-the-counter products, and they call up Nash Finch down in Omaha, they'll sell them these over-the-counter products with no authority of ours. They can do so. I believe what I'm trying to say is I believe there's a fair amount of people out there that are flying under the radar anyway. So, with that, just in conclusion, I would also, as a point of interest, state that there isn't any of our bordering states that are issuing either of these permits, and some of them never have. So we would propose to repeal both of these two permits. And at that, I would yield to any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Are there any questions? I just have one. What's the total dollar reduction from your budget that by discontinuing these licenses?
Fairly insignificant, especially for the poison permits. Since we're only issuing, I believe it's 239, we have about 880 permits for the non-prescription permit that's out there right now at $20 a piece. So it's about $17,500. I would state to you, for that $20 permit, we almost lose money in issuing the permit for staffing time, paper, postage. So certainly, I would say our remuneration of that is less than half.
Just one other question, and that has to do with poison control. You have the number. Does this at all impact when you're taking these off, where the consumer now can call a number for poison control? Would any of this have any impact on that?
From the poison permit?
Yeah. Well, no. By discontinuing, and if somebody called in and whatever you're discontinuing here, if somebody was exposed to that or anything?
No, it would not impact this at all.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there any other proponents for Senate or House Bill 1009? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents to House Bill 1009? Not seeing any, I will close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action. Senator Holine.
I would just, my public comment would be, I think Senator Bradford wants to sell poisons, or I'm not sure.
Thank you. Chair. Senator Krause.
I move to pass House Bill 1009.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Krause, second by Senator Holine. Do pass on House Bill 1009. Any discussion on that motion?
No.
Senator Bradford.
Well, I happen to be one that my father ran a General Mercantile store in Parmalee, South Dakota, and He went into that store in 1931. I was born in there in 1933. And I happen to remember when he could not sell even aspirin in a town where there was no pharmacy, no drugstore, no hardware store, nothing but his store. And I know that that was a real, how shall we say, big thing when they finally let him do that. He had all those drugs were, and in those days, groceries were, you didn't go in and self-serve yourself, pick it up. Everything was handed. It was a great experience in my life as a little boy to live in that time when everything had to be handed a counter like this, and you come up and you said, oh I want a dozen eggs and I want a bottle of aspirin, and everybody had to go get it and personally set it on the counter. So I can see this. The one thing I wondered about was the poisons. Are those handled differently? Is that what you said? No. Is that what it was said?
Yeah, so will you please come back?
Madam Chair, Senator, most of the things that, and we'll refer to Parmalee, South Dakota, that may be sold as a poison, again, those products are not listed on what our board considers a poison. And if they are considered a poison in the eyes of someone, it's usually regulated by the Department of Agriculture, not the Board of Pharmacy.
With that, the motion before you is due pass on Senate Bill 1009. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Schleckaway. Kraus.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Holeen.
I'll move.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for consent on House Bill 1009. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Who seconded?
Holeen did. Moves to consent.
Just kidding.
Boy, you're feisty this morning, Senator Bradford. We're trying to get through this to get done.
I'm sorry. I had a good morning in the appropriations when I asked them to table my college funding bill, and it was so good to go and ask to
have the bill
tabled and not have to beg.
All right, well, hopefully we'll have more success here. House Bill 1010, to repeal certain outdated and obsolete statutes and rules related to the Department of Health. Good morning. Welcome, and please identify yourself for our audience.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tom Martinez. I'm with the Department of Health. A bill brief is being passed around, and House Bill 1010 is an act to repeal certain outdated and obsolete statutes and rules related to the Department of Health. Like the previous bill and the two that follow, this bill was part of an effort by the part of Governor Dugard's initiative to cut red tape in government. Just a little background, I guess, on how we went about identifying these statutes and regulations. We started with an internal review. Our division directors worked with our program administrators to identify these laws and regulations by taking several factors into consideration, including the age of the statutes or the rules, the relevance of the subject matter that they're addressing, and whether the statutes rules continue to be necessary, at least in our opinion and the interested parties involved. After our internal review, we then contacted parties that we thought could potentially be impacted to verify or confirm that there would be no unintended consequences of repealing these statutes and rules. And we are confident that there will, in our assessment, that there will be no unintended consequences. And the bill is quite lengthy. It's 19 pages, but you can pretty much break it down into about 8 different groups or categories, and I can quickly kind of walk through that, and the bill brief does offer some additional information too. But sections 1 through 4 repeal statutes creating the division of that require the creation of the division of dental health within the Department of Health. We currently have an oral health program. Certainly, oral health falls within the public health realm and is a priority for us, along with many of our other public health programs. We intend to continue our oral health program, but we have not had an actual division of dental health since the 1970s, and therefore we feel that this statute is obsolete and unnecessary. Are these statutes? Sections 5 through 7 repeal statutes requiring healthcare facilities to report agricultural injuries to the department. These statutes were passed in 1990. And the implementation of them was contingent upon receiving federal funding for this program. No such funding has ever been received. We're not aware of any coming down the pipe, and I guess after 22 years, we feel that it's probably time to clean these statutes up and take them off the books. Section 8 of the bill repeals the definition of a maternity home within our healthcare facilities statutes. Maternity homes were utilized in the 1950s and 1960s as places where pregnant women would sometimes go to escape the social stigma that was sometimes associated with unplanned or unwed pregnancies. At the time, these types of facilities, I can only assume that they must have been providing some type of healthcare services. That's why the category was included in the healthcare licensure statutes. While there might be some organizations that certainly provide services to pregnant women and unwed mothers, the concept of a maternity home as a healthcare facility is antiquated, and it's been a number of years since we've actively regulated maternity homes in South Dakota, so therefore we feel that these statutes can be repealed. Sections 9 through 15 repeal the requirements for institutions to apply to the Department of Health for a license to obtain impounded animals for research. Again, this is, antiquated statutes. Times have changed. The use of animals for research is now highly regulated by strict federal regulations. Therefore, it's simply not necessary for us to retain the statutory authority. We estimate that it's been over 25 years since the department has issued such a license. Sections 16 through 34 are statutes that were enacted specifically to take advantage of a federal program that provided grant funds and guaranteed loans to improve hospitals across the country. I believe this is the former Hill-Burton Act. This federal program, obviously a great program, but it was discontinued many years ago, and these statutes are simply obsolete now. Healthcare facilities are regulated under Chapter 3412. Sections 35 through 37 repeal statutory requirements for the department to approve construction plans for mausoleums, vaults, and burial structures and to inspect crypts and catacombs. We've been working with the Board of Funeral Services on this issue. We believe that the disposition of human remains is amply covered by other statutes and also through the regulatory powers of the Board of Funeral Services. We believe these statutes are also unnecessary. Sections 38 through 46 repeal a number of administrative rules dealing with imported food animals. These rules were originally promulgated in 1986 out of a concern that a particular banned animal drug could still be used in Canada and could enter South Dakota through imported animals from Canada. Since that time, that drug has been banned in Canada and a lot of other countries, and again, therefore, these particular set of administrative rules are no longer necessary. And lastly, sections 47 through 55 repeal a number of administrative rules dealing with the former medical education scholarship program. This was a former recruitment program for physicians. The statutory authority of this program was actually repealed in 1997, and I think it was just an oversight that these rules weren't repealed at that time or shortly after. So, again, these rules are no longer relied upon, so they can be cleaned up. With that, Madam Chair, I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Are there questions? I have two. For your oral health program, under the old, it said you had a director that was a licensed dentist. Did you currently have that in place?
Madam Chair, no. We do not have a licensed dentist that fulfills that role.
Okay. And then are there any facilities currently in South Dakota that would be defined as maternity homes that are in existence?
Madam Chair, no. There might be some organizations that either call themselves maternity homes or provide services, again, related to unwed mothers or to pregnant women, but they're not providing health care services, and they wouldn't fall under that definition.
Thank you. Senator Bradford.
The part on the part that's left is like the critical access hospital. I know that was very important in the, as I understand it, that's very important in the Medicaid. None of this will change any of that.
Madam Chair, yes, Senator Bradford, that's correct. The critical access program is alive and well. We have, I think, 38 or 39 critical access hospitals in South Dakota, and none of the stuff we're repealing, the statutes or the regulations, have any impact on critical access hospitals.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, are there other proponents? Other proponents to Senate Bill 1010. Are there opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, I will close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Senator Krause.
I move to pass on House Bill 1010.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Krause, seconded by Senator Rampelberg to do pass House Bill 1010. Any comments on that motion? Hearing none. The motion before you is do pass on House Bill 1010. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Schleckaway. Krause.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye. Motion carried.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Krause.
I move consent.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Krause, second by Senator Krebs for consent on House Bill 1010. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried. 1010 goes on consent. Thank you very much. Rolling right along, we will now move to... House Bill 1026, which repeals certain outdated or unnecessary statutes related to the Department of Social Services. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Kim Malsom-Reiser. I'm the Secretary of the Department of Social Services, here with an agency bill that is, as you heard from the prior bill, in a similar vein. The Department of Social Services, at the direction of the governor, did an internal review of the statutes that we have that pertain to our department and come before you with a repeal of 24 sections that that do not add any value to our state code. By repealing all of the sections that are in this bill, we will not see any changes in terms of the operations of the Department of Social Services. These are all sections that are either redundant with existing federal law, which would control anyway, and or are very outdated. In fact, none of these 24 sections have been implemented in the last 20 years. Any changes since then have been just minor, non-substantive changes. We actually have four statutes from 1939 that just simply do not apply to today's day and age. There are no again, challenges with implementing these repeals because they would not affect the operations of our department. With that, I'd be happy to answer any specific questions folks might have, and I would conclude my testimony.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Questions? Seeing none, thank you. Are there other proponents to Senate Bill 1026? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Terry Dosh. I'm the executive director of two organizations, the Council of Mental Health Centers, also the Council of Substance Abuse Directors. My members fall under the general provisions of the rules that are before you today. And quite frankly, we've had an opportunity to participate in an open process in their review. My conclusions after going through 1026 is that these rules fall into one of three categories. Either they're outdated, they're taken care of someplace else, or they're simply not needed. Metaphorically, I liken this to your attic or your garage or mine anyway, where you're basically cleaning up the clutter and making things clear and right. And my members will appreciate the opportunity to navigate the rules that apply to us without confusion. So we support this and ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
Yeah.
Senator Bradford.
I just have one, and I don't know if you can answer or if the department, but we're going to abolish a committee, an advisory council. Is that in existence right now, or is it already been? The mental health planning and
coordination. Madam Chair, I think I'll let the department respond to the question.
Senator, what section are you referring to?
Right there at the very first, Section 1.
Section 1, all right.
You see, we're going to...
I'm sorry?
They created an advisory council. Was that in existence till we...
Go ahead. Will,
thank you, Madam Chair. Amy Iverson-Pilar is Deputy Secretary for the Department of Social Services. I believe, Senator Bradford, you're speaking to the next bill, if it's the Mental
yes,
Health Planning
we're
Council.
We're on 1026 right now.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay. Any other proponents for 1026?
The bills are so long ahead.
That's okay. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1026? Opponents? Opponent, seeing none, close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action. Senator Rampelberg.
I move to pass on the bill.
Senate Bill 26, all right. Is there a second? Okay, moved by Senator Rampelberg, seconded by Senator Krebs, do pass on House Bill 1026. Any comments on that motion? Hearing none. The motion before you is do pass on House Bill 1026. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen. Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Schleckaway. Kraus.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
Chair.
Senator Kraus.
I move consent on 1026.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Senator Kraus, second by Senator Krebs to move House Bill 1026 to consent. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. 1026 goes on consent. Now we'll move to House Bill 1027, and if you can address in part of your discussion the answer to Senator Bradford's question. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning again. Amy Iverson, Polarized. Deputy Secretary for the Department of Social Services. House Bill 1027 is similar to the previous bills you've heard in that it repeals outdated or unnecessary statutes. These are in relation to our behavioral health divisions within the department. The department as you've heard before, undertook a review of statutes as part of Governor Dugard's red tape review with the goal of eliminating unnecessary statutes. In addition, in this particular bill, we worked with our behavioral health work group to review these statutes to determine that they really are unnecessary and that the repeal of them will not result in any change to our programs, services, or operations within the behavioral health areas of the department. It will simply make the code streamlined and easier for people to use. Many of the sections in this bill were originally passed in the 1930s, the 1960s, and the 1970s. The repeals include things such as you heard earlier, a statute that created the Mental Health Planning Council. This statute, actually, there are four statutes related to this particular area, and they are duplicative to a federal requirement. It's almost word for word what that federal requirement states. So we have a Mental Health Planning Council. We will continue to have a Mental Health Planning Council. It does not need to be in state statute because it's a federal regulation. There are also several statutes, six actually, that relate to cooperating with other agencies. So they give us the ability to cooperate with the federal government, with different areas of state government. These are things we do on a regular basis, and we don't need statutes to permit us to do so. There are also multiple statutes that relate to developing state plans for services and conforming to federal government requirements. Again, these are things that we do regularly. We're required to do them with many of our federal grants, so it's unnecessary to have this in state statute. With that, I'll close my testimony and urge your support of House Bill 1027.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Bradford.
Once again, but I see you also did away with the Alcohol and Drug Council.
Yeah, that's a similar council. We currently have a Substance Abuse Council. We have both currently. We'll continue to have both. Actually, at the federal level, it's looking like there may be some integration of those councils. So, again, we'll follow whatever federal requirements we have around having those councils.
One follow-up.
Go ahead.
When you say you have the federal, do they cooperate with the tribal drug and alcohol at all?
I'm not sure I understand the question, Senator Bradford.
I guess I want to know if because now drug and alcohol, if you're in say Rapid City Court and you have to have drug counsel as part of your, there was a correlation between them and the tribal. They could, in turn, go home and take that under the tribal. Is that?
The particular requirements around the Mental Health and Substance Abuse Advisory Councils per these statutes pertain to councils that exist to advise the department relative to the federal block grants that we receive. So it's specifically tied to that, and it wouldn't necessarily pertain to any councils that apply to drug courts. You're welcome.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you. Other proponents? Welcome back.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name's Terry Dosh, Executive Director, South Dakota Council of Mental Health Centers, South Dakota Council of Substance Abuse Directors. Everything that I said with respect to 1026, I wish to associate with this bill as well. These sets of statutes are even more germane to the area of my members' function. So as a member of the Behavioral Health Work Group, the components of this bill became one of the pieces of work that we started with. What a better way to start transfer of our resource from one agency to another than by cleaning up the code associated with it. Now, when I first took a look at these, I was a little worried that there might be some important authorities that might be being done away with. It appears so when you first look at it. As a member of the subcommittee that actually went through this, I was given full permission to watchdog this thoroughly, and I did. We went over this line by line, and I'm thoroughly convinced that this doesn't add to or subtract from any of our authorities. It does exactly what has been testified to. It cleans up existing code. And with that, I'd end my testimony and ask you to support.
Thank you. Any other proponents to House Bill 1027? Other proponents? Are there opponents? Any opponents? Opponents. Seeing none, I will close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action.
Move do pass.
It's been moved by Senator Bradford, do pass on House Bill 1027. Is there a second? Second by Senator Krause. Discussion on that motion? None. All right. The motion before us is do pass on 1027. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Holeen. Krebs.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Kraus.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye. Motion carried. It's been moved by Senator Rampelberg for consent, seconded by Senator Kraus. All those in favor of moving to consent signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Wow. Everything's on consent today. Thank you. Moving right along. Well, with that, we have come to a closure of our meeting. We will again meet on Monday. We have some bills, some House bills to address. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Krause, second by Senator Rampelberg. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We are adjourned. Thank you.